16 this morning. Brother Ron and Miss Carla have been, and all the family have been dealing with Jason for years. Like, and he gets upset and gets something in his mind, he just can't change it until he walks it off and gets away from everything for a while. All right, Romans 16. We're talking about doctrine. And verse 17, Romans 16:17, Paul's writing to the church. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division, offenses contrary to the doctrine." There's some people cause division. They'll cause division over stupid things. They'll cause division over personalities, you know, stuff like that, just causing division. Some people say, "Well, I don't like that guy in the church." You're supposed to love everybody. You might not have to like everybody, but you're supposed to love everybody. And that's why I told Jason, I said, "Jason, you got to be a Christian. Be a Christian, you're supposed to act like Christ. You don't want to, you know, beat everybody up." And there's times where you're not going to like somebody. Somebody's going to offend you in church. If you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt in church. Anywhere you think, it shouldn't be that way. No, it shouldn't be. But if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to say something, hurt your feelings. Somebody's not going to like you. Somebody's not going to shake your hand. Somebody's going to do something. And you're going to get upset and you're going to want to, you know, then you say, "I'm going to leave church." That's not the Christian way to be. You know, you get people out in the world that's got more character than most Christians in church. They got more character. They won't leave their job because they don't like somebody. You know why? Because there's money behind it. And we know the motive. We know their motive. Some people are looking for excuse to leave. They're looking for excuse to get out. And use the church or use brethren, somebody for a cause to say, "That's why I left church." Nathan was telling me this morning, a guy told me this, he said to Nathan, he says, "Well, I'm mad at God." And a lot of people say, "I'm mad at God." "About what? What are you mad at God about?" He said, "Well, God didn't let me have my wife have a baby." Well, Jason said, or Nathan said, "Did you pray about it?" He says, "What?" And you know, he said, "Have you prayed about it?" And so most people, just foolish questions, answers and foolish questions, that kind of thing. But when it comes to doctrine, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. This church is founded on doctrine. This church is founded on doctrine. You say founded on Jesus Christ. Yes, it is, but it's founded on doctrine. Jesus taught doctrine. They said, "What's this new doctrine?" Now, he says, "Cause division, offense, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Now, we had people come here that believed in speaking in tongues. That's a charismatic Pentecostal doctrine. We don't believe that. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. We don't believe people, you know, get slapped in the head and they roll around the floor and then they get healed and they speak in tongues and all that stuff. They flop around like a fish out of water. We don't believe that. I think that's a sign of an unclean spirit in a person. But a lot of the Pentecostals, the charismatics, they believe that stuff goes on. And then there's people that believe in washing feet. You said, "Well, disciples, they wash feet." I have no problem with somebody. I've never been to a church where they wash my feet. I've never been. I would feel kind of funny. Jesus washed disciples' feet. And then Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And that was Jesus Christ washing feet. Now, some churches use that as a doctrine. They use that as a spiritual doctrine that every Sunday or every month they wash each other's feet. Now, that's humbling. It's humbling to have somebody wash your feet. I would be on edge if somebody's washing my feet. Somebody messing my feet, I'd be on edge. And the Bible talks about your feet being that bring the gospel is beautiful for those that preach the gospel. But I'm going to ask you right now, what's some of the doctrine, and give me a verse on the doctrine that we believe. Somebody give me a verse and a doctrine that we believe. Now, most Christians that go to church, they don't know anything when it comes to doctrine. They don't know what they believe, why they believe it. They just say, "Oh, it's a nice church, got a beautiful building, a nice parking lot, the pastor looks good, he talks good," or whatever. They have all kinds of crazy things what they believe, what a church should be. But when it comes to doctrine, they don't know what they believe. And it's important that you know what you believe and why you believe it. And when I was graduating from Bible school and then I was pastoring church here, I had to go back. I went back and got ordained. And I had to stand up in front of a bunch of men that were on the front rows, both front rows, and I had to stand up in front of a bunch of men and tell them what I believed and why I believed it and give them scripture for it. Now, I'm asking you this morning, what do we believe? We've given everybody a doctrinal statement. We give out doctrinal statements. And we give everybody out that. And what do we believe? And can you give me a verse on it? Brother Huff?
Salvation, Romans 10:13.
All right. Salvation is by what? Faith?
Faith.
Yeah. A lot of churches believe in salvation. They believe in salvation, but they have different ways of getting it. Some churches, the Church of Christ, they believe in salvation by baptism. They use Acts 2:38. And I'll never forget when I first met, I ran into a Church of Christ. I was on the street down in South Carolina. And I ran into a guy that believed baptism was salvation. And I'm walking along. I got a youth group with me. And we're out on the street passing out tracts and preaching on the street and stuff. And it was on a Friday night or Saturday night. I forget what it was. And we were in a mall. Not a mall, but we was in a strip mall. And I'm walking along. And there was a Church of Christ preacher. And I'm 21 years old. And I'm walking along there. And the guy goes, "What about Acts 2:38? And I went, I'm trying to turn in my Bible because I didn't know what Acts 2:38. I mean, I'd never seen. And he goes, and then we walk along. I said, wait a minute, don't run from me. I'm saying, don't run from me. And I said, what about, then he said, what about Acts 1 21? What about 1 Peter 1:21? What about Mark 16:16? And he kept, and he was running away from me. I'm trying to find it. And then when I hit 1 Peter 1:21, it stopped me dead in my tracks. It really did. I went like this. I went, oh. And it stopped me. And I went, oh, man. I went home that night, and the guy went on, because when I gave him, what happened was, I gave him a track. I said, hey, buddy, tell you about Jesus Christ. And the guy looked at it and goes, you mean all I got to do is ask Jesus Christ to save me, and I can be saved? I said, yeah, that's what you can do. Ask if you mean it with your heart. And he goes, what about Acts 2:38? What about 1 Peter 1:21? What about Mark 16:16? And I went, I'm looking at him, I'm trying to follow along with him, I'm trying to find him. And then when I hit 1 Peter 1:21, I went. And I went home that night. I stayed up to 1 o'clock in the morning. It was a Friday or Saturday night. And I stayed up to 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at that verse. I'm praying. I'm looking at it. I'm studying it. And I'm saying, God, I don't understand this. This is throwing me for a loop. And I called the preacher up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? My preacher was Billy Randall. He's with the Lord right now. And Billy Randall, as soon as he answered the phone, he didn't say hello. He didn't say, why are you calling me at 1 o'clock? And you know what he did? First thing, when he answered the phone, he said, the verse that you're looking at, 1 Peter 1:21, look at it again. I said, how'd you know it was me? They didn't have caller ID and all that. I said, how'd you know it was me? He said, I heard what happened. He said, everybody, all the kids said, it stopped you dead in the tracks. I didn't know how to handle it. Look at 1 Peter 1:21. You need to know what you believe while you believe it. You know why? Because you're gonna run into cults, and they're gonna give you stuff, and they're gonna throw it at you. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they're gonna throw stuff at you, and it's gonna stop you dead in your crack. And then you're gonna doubt. And then you say, well, I don't know about that. 1 Peter 3:21. 3:21, excuse me. Got my mind going 1,000 miles an hour. 1 Peter 3:21. And you're going to run into people that's going to throw scripture at you, and they're going to throw something, and you're going to look at it and go, what in the world? Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what you're supposed to do is rightly divide the word of God and study it and know what you believe and why you believe it. But I found this. We give out doctrinal statements here, and if you want one, we'll get you one. I've got some somewhere in here. But we give out doctrinal statements. Most Christians don't know what they believe and why. You know, and you don't. If you don't know what you believe and why, then you won't witness. You won't tell people about Jesus Christ because you're afraid that you get in an argument, and then you're afraid somebody might ask you a question that you can't answer. And I've had people ask me questions I could not answer many times. Amen, but what it did, it got me back studying. Amen. It got me in my Bible.
Yes, sir.
And what I wanted to know, man, I tell you what, I don't want to take nobody's word for it, but God's.
Yeah.
And if you take just, you know, face value, the preacher said, and you don't know where it's at, you're going to believe anything.
Right.
The Bible says don't be tossed about every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
And you, what happens is Jehovah, you know what? You know what I found? Most Jehovah Witnesses, you know when they knock on your door and you say, well, I'm a Baptist. They say, well, I used to be Baptist. You know what? And you know what? You know why they like Jehovah's Witnesses? Because they'll study the Bible. They'll go in there and they don't preach. They just go through the Bible and go. And they say, people say, well, I like Jehovah's Witnesses because they'll come by your house and they'll sit down with you and go through the Bible. And they'll teach you a perversion. Yeah, they'll teach you a falsehood. They'll teach, they'll be glad to. The devil's glad to give you, to mess your life up. So whenever they knock on my door and they say, well, I used to be a Baptist, I always say, you probably wasn't a good one then. Because you didn't read your Bible. If you were a good one, you would have read your Bible. Now, let me ask you something. Are you a good one? You say, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. Are you a good one? Do you study your Bible? Do you read it? The Bible says give attendance to reading. Most Christians sitting in church, they, you know, it was like when I first went to church, I'll never forget, I couldn't read or write. I'd sit there on the front row and the preacher preach out Job, and I'd be sitting next to somebody. And Linda, my wife wasn't in their room or whatever, she was with children, and I'd say, show me where we're at. And most people just sit there. They don't have a Bible. They just look. They don't even care. I think, that's stupid. Why would you come to church and the preacher say, open your Bible, let's look at it. Why would you sit there with not a Bible and not even look? You know, you could believe anything. Why would you be like that? When I wanted to know, man. I wanted to see. So, 1 Peter 3:21. Somebody read it to me out loud.
Like vigor whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Whoa. It says baptism doth now save us. I looked at that. I went, I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning looking at it. And my wife said, what's the matter? I thought, I just got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. Go ahead, brother. Read it again.
Like vigor whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
See the parentheses? Something's in parentheses to show you. And whenever you read this, it says the like. Whenever you see like and as in the Bible, it's showing you it's something like that. Amen. Or it's something as that. So I'm reading this thing, and I'm looking at it going, man, baptism doeth now save us. Baptism doeth now save us. Baptism doeth now save us. Oh, man. But then when I called the preacher up that night, I said, and he says, that verse you're looking at, look at the parentheses. He said, take the words and the parentheses out. I said, take them out. He said, yeah, because they were added, they put in there to show you it's not your flesh. It's not your flesh being baptized. Look what it says. We won't even read it with that. It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see it? You see that thing? That's not, and then, but it says, not by the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God. So, it's baptism is not washing away your sins from your flesh. It says not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's a spiritual baptism. This right here is a spiritual baptism. When you got saved, when I baptize people in the water up here, I say in the like figure, I'll say by the authority invested in me as the minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, by your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother and my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's why it says resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you got saved, you got put in Jesus Christ by baptism, spiritually by the blood. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you got saved, you got put in Christ by baptism, and it's a spiritual baptism. Now, no water there at all. None. It's a spiritual baptism. And that's why it says, verse 21, again, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth now save us, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's a spiritual baptism. So when I ran in that verse that night, that guy stumped me, and that, man, I was like, oh, my Lord. And it had me going. Now go to Acts 2.38. Acts 2.38. And a lot of Church of Christ, and even the Catholic Church, and who else? A couple other different churches try to use Acts 2.38. This baptism here was a baptism to the nation of Israel.
To the Jews.
And it says, but it was added to the church. The church is an assembly, but the church was studied. And it says, and now Peter is preaching to him. Peter's preaching to him, and he tells him, you crucified the Messiah. You crucified your Messiah. And the gospel has not gone to the Gentiles. Paul shows up, the gospel starts going to Gentiles, or Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to Cornelius, and God tells him, he brings a sheet down in front of him and says, Peter, he has a dream, a vision in the day. He has a dream, and he says, Peter, rise and kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I haven't ate anything unclean or defiled from my youth. He had hogs on there, and he brought that thing to show Peter. So Peter sees that, and he goes, no, I ain't doing that. And the Lord was preparing him to show him that Gentiles are going to get in.
Amen.
So you read the book of Acts. It's a transitional book. You go from the law to grace. But in the middle of that thing, here's grace, here's law. And you go through the middle of that thing, and people get the Holy Ghost by a couple different ways. Acts chapter 17 or 19, they breathe on them, they get the Holy Ghost. So there's a transition taking place. And because the Jews didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ was Messiah, so Peter gets up and preaches to them on the day of Pentecost, and that's where the Pentecostals use it. They call themselves the Pentecost. And, you know, it's funny that we haven't had a Pentecost like that since the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 32, Acts chapter 2, verse 32, then Jesus, this Jesus have God raised up here whereof ye are witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father the promises of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he saith unto him, saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord. There you go. That's a good verse to show a Jehovah's Witnesses that Jesus Christ was God. And it says, Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, in verse 36, you need to underline, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? They didn't say, how do we get saved? They said, what shall we do? What shall we do in light that we crucified the Messiah? See, when John shows up, John's preaching, he said, you know, come down to Jordan. He said, you know, get baptized. And for the Messiah's coming, to get ready for the Messiah, to show that you're willing to follow Messiah. So Jesus shows up and he says, it's needful for you to baptize me. So that was to the nation of Israel for them to receive their Messiah. And you're trying to show them that there was a Messiah coming. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission. The remission. When somebody has cancer, they go into remission if they got chemo, but it can come back. Remission is to push the sin back until you believe on it. It says, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, who? Israel, and to your children, to all that are far off, for as many as the Lord shall, our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. For that day that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Signs are connected with what? The Jews. Signs are always connected with the Jews. But when the tribulation takes place, guess what? There's going to be signs and wonders again coming back. So then you got the Pentecostals claiming signs and wonders and all that stuff. I had a lady one time tell me when Benny Hinn first came on the air, when Benny Hinn first came on the market, Benny Hinn, how many of y'all know who Benny Hinn is? He's a South American preacher. And people told me that Benny Hinn, right, they preached, what all these guys preach is a prosperity gospel. And what means if you're not rich and you don't have a nice car, you don't have a beautiful home, your wife is not perfectly built, then you're not right with God. That's what they teach. Really, that's what they believe. They believe if you don't have money in the bank and you ain't got, you know, God doesn't want you to struggle. God doesn't want you to go through, you know, they. So they teach that stuff. And Benny Hinn says, okay, if you want God to bless you, here's the first step of obedience. Send me your money. He rides around Rolls Royce. He's got five or six houses all over the world. And somebody was telling me that he went into a restaurant, had his whole team with him, and he was throwing money around, left thousands of dollars tip, just showing them. People giving their money in the plate, bunch of suckers, giving their money to this guy that claims he's an apostle. Right. Benny Hinn claims he's an apostle. And if you read your Bible, over in the book of Revelation, it says, you've tried them that said they're apostles and found them to be liars. Amen. We got this guy up here in Smyrna, Apostle Bull. He has an insurance company. Yeah, he's full of bull. And and when you talk to him, they talk like, you know, salvation. Oh, yeah, that's right, man. That's right. We believe the Lord. But it's a prosperity gospel. And they preach that stuff and make people think if you're not rich, you're not right with God, or you need to give more money to me. Right. But these Pentecostals, this one guy, I was going to tell you something. Pentecostal, they teach that stuff, and they teach that, you know, they got signs and wonders and all that stuff, and they try to deceive people. And the Bible says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among us. But what happened with signs and wonders and the apostles? They faded out. The apostles faded out. You find Paul was healing everybody. Jesus Christ healed. Jesus Christ didn't have no rejects. He healed everybody. The apostle Peter, even walking by, if you read the book of Acts, I think Acts chapter 3, he walks by the shadow, people putting people that were sick and lame on the street, that maybe his shadow would overshadow them and they would get healed. So, but what happens is Paul becomes an apostle. He's healing people, but then at the end, it starts fading out. Why? The Word of God was being complete. The Word of God got complete. The Lord didn't need signs and wonders. Some people say, well, God, show me a sign. God, show me a sign. God ain't going to show you no sign. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you're supposed to live by faith, and you get faith from the Word of God.
Yes.
So it's important for you to believe and know what you believe and know why you believe what you believe. And when I, like I said, as a young Christian, I didn't want to go along with what anybody said, what anybody did. I want to see what the book said. And Acts 2:38, he says they were baptized, and 3,000 were added to them. So, and they were all Jews. Now go back to Romans. Salvation is one of the doctrines, and salvation by grace, or actually go to Romans 16, hold your place, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I'm going to tell you something. They do not believe this verse. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe it's by works. You got work, 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 and you never know. Mormons, you got to work. You got a 2-year missionary course you got to do, and everybody's got to do it. It's almost like in Israel. Everybody's got to join the military. Now, verse 7, Ephesians 2:7. That it says that in the ages to come, it might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, we're rich. We're all rich. Like Earl Hughes used to say, or somebody used to say, I'm rich, man. He said, I got all kinds of money. I'm just separated from my fortune and assets. I'm separated from my assets. And one day you will, and you're laying up treasures in heaven. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So the devil knows if you can't get your soul, is the next best thing to keep you where you don't have any riches you're going to receive in heaven. No rewards. None. No crowns. know nothing. And most Christians sit on the pew, and they're satisfied, and they tell you, I just don't want to know. Because the Bible says much study is weariness of the flesh. And knowledge puffeth up. I mean, I realize when a guy's reading his Bible, he gets puffed up some. But still, I'd rather have a guy know his Bible, get a little puffed up, than somebody that don't know nothing and sit around and do nothing. So most Christians, they know about football teams. They know stats of all the teams. They know stats of all the players. They know stats of all the baseball players. They know stats on this, and they know stats on that. They know hockey teams. They know all the stats there. They know about the stock market. They know about this. They know about that. They know all kinds of things. And I believe you ought to try to learn a lot of things, know a lot of things about different things. That way you can talk to people. I'm all things to all men that might save, by all means save some.
Amen.
I think you ought to know something about everything. I try to know something about everything if I can. It was Anna sitting here the other day. And I said something to her. She goes, and I said, I don't know. She goes, well, preacher, you're supposed to know everything. I said, I wish I did know everything. But you should know some things. But I'm going to tell you something. The one thing you ought to know better than anything else is the book God's given us.
Amen.
And hiding it in your heart that you might not sin against him. That would be a great thing. Isn't it something when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to hold you accountable for what you could have known? You say, wait a minute. No, I don't believe that. Now, when it comes to him. When you say, I don't have time, and you sit in front of a TV set, or you go play golf, or you play sports, and you do this and do that, and you don't have time for the Word of God,
right.
You're lying.
Amen.
You're lying to God. You're lying to yourself. And you know what Samson, I was talking the other night. He said, Dad, why is it? He asked me this question. He said, why is it now in churches you don't see a lot of the old saints of God? Like the Bible says, the older women should teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to raise their kids. Why is it we don't see older women helping younger women and teaching them how to be good witnesses, how to love their children, how to raise their kids? Why is it that we don't see older men investing their lives in other young men and trying to help young men to be good husbands, to be good witnesses? Why is that? I said, you know what? It seems like we've come this far that the older generations got satisfied and they don't want to do nothing.
That's right.
And I realized we're in a day and age where young people, it shouldn't be that way in church, but young people, you say, well, I have the grandkids for a couple hours, that's all I can stand them. A lot of people say that. I can't stand my grandkids that long. But why is it not that we, as grandparents and everything, are training our children, children's children? Why is that not happening? You know what's going to happen? Next generation is going to be gone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. One of the doctrines of salvation, for by grace are you saved through baptism. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. They don't believe that. They don't believe that one bit. It is the gift of God. You know, I remember John Garner telling me one time, he kept telling this guy about this gift. He was witnessing this guy. He said, man, I tell you what, if you can just get the gift, I'm telling you, the gift would solve your problems. The gift, and he kept going on and on and on about the gift, and the guy finally said, give me the gift!
Amen.
He goes, you really want it? The guy said, yeah! So he showed him how to get saved.
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And that's the reason why it says that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because what happened is, if you got it on your own, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and all that, they believe they're working their way to heaven, then you think, I did it on my own. I got to heaven on my own. Jesus Christ died in vain. if there was a way, some other way, Jesus Christ didn't have to die. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That I would recommend you to memorize that verse. Memorize it. So while I'm just, you can't teach old dog new tricks. Oh, yes, you can. You can teach old dog new tricks. You can teach him how to, if a man really wants to know, I never forget my dad got saved at 70 years old. And he wanted to know things. And I remember catching my dad reading his Bible. My dad couldn't read that well. And he had in the basement of his house, it was a pathway that went through. He had so much junk everywhere. And my father had a pathway into his office. And my kids sit around and talk about it now. They say, remember when we used to go down to Grandpa's office? And he'd have his cigars down there, and he'd have his papers. Brother and sisters, he had papers from 1930s, bills that he had paid. I said, Dad, why don't you throw that away? You never know. They might try to come back on me. They might want me to pay the thing again. I said, Dad, that's 50 years ago. I said, they ain't going to try to make you pay. I said, they're not even in business no more. Well, they ain't. Oh, okay. But he was have his Bible down there. I got my dad's Bible. And I see where my dad was marking it up. He wanted to know. And what's a blessing? That's a real blessing. And if you're a Christian, you ought to want to know what you believe and why you believe.
Amen.
Salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I say memorize that verse. And look with me. I want to show you something just to put the nail in the coffin. 1 Corinthians. I show this to the Church of Christ. First Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. We're talking about people causing divisions, contrary to the doctrines of Christ. He said, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Caiaphas and Gaius, lest any should say I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I have baptized any other. Look what verse 17 says. You need to underline it. Show this to Church of Christ, the Pentecostal, what have you. It says, for Christ sent me not to what?
Baptize.
But to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. You should know that. 1 Corinthians 15 is the gospel of death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ by according to scriptures. You can say it's four part or five part because it says according to scripture twice. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So right there you need to underline that verse and show people. If they start saying, well, when people come talk to me, I said, are you saved? I always ask them, are you saved? They're, oh, yeah, I'm saved. How'd you get saved? And most of the time, folks, here's what's going to happen. When you say, how did you get saved? Most of the time, probably 80% of the time, they'll say, well, I was baptized. I was baptized. You say, well, I always say this, you know baptism can't save you, right? And they'll go, oh, yeah, I know that. And they don't know it.
That's right.
They're trusting their baptism that can get them into heaven.
Yeah.
Now, I always refer back to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was hanging there that day, and you said, well, that was in the Old Testament. And that, yeah, but here the New Testament was hanging on the cross.
Yep.
Right beside him.
Amen.
And the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when I come to kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The guy didn't have time to get baptized.
Nope.
Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I don't think I've ever baptized Pop Mason. Pop Mason died last Friday morning, Thursday. or Tuesday. And he passed away. I've never got a chance to baptize. You say, is he going to heaven?
Yeah, sure.
You know what Church of Christ teach? No way. And the Mormons would teach this. They said, well, you know, we could get him in.
Yeah.
We could probably get him in. We baptize you for him.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
The Catholics teach for 10 grand, you might get it.
Yeah, 10 grand. You. We could probably get him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 grand, that's a good round number. Yeah, we could probably get him in. It's a con.
Amen.
Religion is a con. Amen. So don't let nobody tell you baptism is the way to salvation. Baptism is the way of obedience. We'll stop right there. We'll get into this next time. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. I pray, God, bless the service coming up. I pray help Jason, my brother. Lord, I pray, God, just help him calm down. And, Lord, I pray, God, that your Lord, that you would work on his heart. Father, work on hearts today that's not saved. I pray you save that soul nearest hell. Help our fruit remain. And, God, help our fruit produce more fruit and much fruit for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.